old. I'm Amelia and I'm 5 years old.
Hi, I'm Zosha and I'm 8 years old.
Hi everyone, this is Mommy.
What's up everyone, I'm Daddy.
And you're listening to...
It's Movie Night.
And this week we watched The Prince of Egypt.
DreamWorks Studios released this animated Bible musical in 1998. It's rated PG and has a runtime of 1 hour and 37 minutes. Some other movies DreamWorks released around that time were Ants and The Road to El Dorado.
Amelia, what would you say this movie's about?
It's about a town who gets attacked from warriors, and then they find all the babies, and then after they find all the babies, they bring them to the water so the crocodiles can eat the rest of the babies.
But there's only one word that they forgot.
Yeah.
That's true. That is a 3-minute scene in the movie, but this movie is about Moses, a young man who was born into slavery but raised in a family of wealth and power. It's not until after an accident that he leaves this life behind and chooses a new path in following God and must go back to free his people.
Some familiar voices in The Prince of Egypt. Moses is played by Val Kilmer. We know him as Bruce Wayne / Batman in Batman Forever. He was Mad Mortigan in Willow and Iceman in Top Gun. Ramesses is voiced by Ralph Fiennes. He is Alfred Pennyworth in the Lego Batman movie. He Who Shall Not Be Named, otherwise known as Lord Voldemort in the Harry Potter franchise. And parents, you might know him as Chef Slovak in The Menu. Sephora is played by Michelle Pfeiffer. She is Selina Kyle in Batman Returns, Velma Von Tussle in Hairspray, and Elvira Hancock from Scarface. Don't watch that movie with your kids, parents. Miriam is voiced by Sandra Bullock. She is Annie in Speed, Gracie Hart from Miss Congeniality, and Margaret Tate in The Proposal. And a few others worth mentioning, Pharaoh Seti is played by Patrick Stewart. He is Professor Xavier in the X-Men franchise. Aaron is voiced by Jeff Goldblum, who is Ian Malcolm in the Jurassic Park franchise. And Hotep and Hui are played by the iconic duo of Steve Martin and Martin Short. You may know them as George Banks and Frank from Father of the Bride.
And then there are three directors in this movie. Simon Wells, who co-directed Five-O Goes West, a movie that we'll be covering in June. He also co-directed We're Back, A Dinosaur Story, and directed Balto. Steve Hickner is another director of this movie, and he co-directed B-Movie, a movie that I've heard is not very good, so maybe we'll cover it just to let everyone know. And then Brenda Chapman, who co-directed Brave, a movie that we like very much in this house.
Absolutely.
So like you had said, Mommy, this movie came out in 1998. Do you remember how old you were the first time you saw it, and did you like it?
I was around 15 years old.
Okay.
So yeah, I was a freshman in high school, and I did like it. I was very surprised by it, and the music really got me into it more than anything. What about you?
I saw this, man, I had to have been around 9 or 10. Probably 9 the first time I saw it. I did go to a Catholic school, so this is something that we watched in class. And I remember thinking, wow, I didn't think that you could make something of the Bible this cool. So I enjoyed it very much.
It definitely spices up the material, that's for sure.
This is a first-time watch for Amelia. Zosha, did you like this movie the first time you watched it?
I don't remember, but I think I cried.
Yes, you did. Zosha was probably around 2.5. And we got to the part with the hieroglyphics where we saw what happened to the babies, like Amelia had just explained, and Zosha lost it. She started crying. We had to shut it off immediately, and it took a few days for that to get out of her mind.
So this is a Bible movie. We've seen a few now, Mommy, like Noah, Exodus, Gods of Kings, which I don't really remember. You said you have seen Ten Commandments, but I have not. Passion of the Christ. And girls, you watched The Star, the musical one about Jesus being born. Did you like that one?
Yeah, kinda.
You kinda liked it? Okay. Mommy, what's one of the best Bible movies you've seen? Is this the best Bible movie you've seen?
This is the best Bible movie I've seen. It is entertaining. There's music because the original Ten Commandments, I could not make it through. I kept falling asleep.
It's a long movie, right?
Yeah, it's like a 3-hour movie, and I don't want to offend anybody, but it is just not for me.
Okay.
Daddy, what was your favorite?
I think this is my favorite as well. It's just got music and it's more entertaining. It's more fun. So the other ones are just way serious. I do like them. They're good movies, but this one's more fun. This is one of the cases where the movie is better than the book. Now, obviously, the Bible's a gigantic book. It's the oldest book in history as well. But this is one of those movies that I'm like, I like this better than those. I think it's like chapters 2 to 15 is Exodus. So I think that's the Moses story. And yeah, I'd rather watch the movie.
It's definitely a lot more fun to learn about it this way.
Absolutely.
How about some favorite scenes in this movie? Girls, what did you think of the chariot race with Moses and Ramesses at the beginning?
I liked it.
Yeah, that is a very fun scene. I like that Moses is kind of showing Ramses a good time. And Ramses, you could tell, is just he's the rule follower because he's got a lot to live up to. He's got a dynasty that he's going to have to take over pretty soon.
He is the true older brother, and Moses is that true younger brother that's pulling him into those hijinks. And it is, you see the love in their relationship throughout this scene, too. Even though they're goading each other and racing and kind of, you know, talking smack to each other, you just see what a wonderful relationship that they have.
Another good scene that I really liked, and it's probably not something that everyone likes, but I know because of my upbringing, is when Moses talks to God for the first time, the burning bush. Val Kilmer plays the voice of God in this movie as well, and I think it's pretty cool that he does that because you don't know how God sounds. So the fact that he's hearing his own voice kind of talking to himself, but also plays in that realm of, is he crazy? Is he hearing his own voice, or is it actually God? Like, is it his subconscious? It's kind of an interesting scene.
I feel like I remember hearing the phrase to see yourself in his own image. So maybe it's a reflection upon that statement in the Bible. Like, yeah. Moses is seeing himself within God, and that's why he hears a twist on his own voice.
Yeah, it could be. That's why I like that scene so much.
Gets you thinking. So this next part is not as joyous. It might be a little scary, but I really liked the way they showed the plagues on Egypt.
Yeah, it's kind of a montage.
It is, and it's a fight between God showing his power and the Egyptians trying to counter it to be like, oh, well, we can do that too, until it gets to a point where they cannot do that too. And I just really like seeing that power struggle, if you will.
I like when Moses parts the sea.
Ooh, what do you like about that scene?
It was cool. It was like a miracle.
It was like a miracle because people can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't even know any magicians that could do that. So definitely a miracle. Did you like anything else about it?
I like when they're walking and then they can see the whales, the fish, and sharks and stuff.
That is something that's really cool. You could see the lightning. There's like lightning striking behind the water.
Yeah.
And you could see the silhouettes of these creatures that are in the sea. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like it still didn't disrupt ocean life, even though they parted a sea.
So some positives of this movie. The animation looks great. Water, like we had just said, looks awesome. Even when Moses is turning the water into blood, when he parts the Red Sea, like all the water just looks great.
I really like the sand too. Like when that scaffold falls and Moses and Ramesses kind of ride down that sand wave, it looked really cool.
Yeah, it does. I like in that scene the fact that the nose falls off the statue.
Yes.
And it kind of addresses that, because that's how it is in real life. So it kind of addresses why the nose is gone. So I like that little reference. But with the animation being as good as it is, it's not a Frozen 2 fiber scene. I'm sorry I keep referencing Frozen 2, but it's just one of the best animations to this day.
It's a solid callback.
But something that it doesn't have that Frozen has is like giant eyes. All these characters are proportionate and they're not overly emphasized. So it's awesome for its time. And then another fun fact is that it had over 350 animators. So we had a lot of people who were giving love and blood, sweat, and tears into this movie.
There was a lot of attention to detail. And I almost didn't believe that it was from 1998 because it looked so good. I was like, this had to have been more recent. At least like 2002, sooner. No.
Yes, it's definitely something to appreciate.
So I kind of touched upon this already with the chariot racing scene, but we love the relationship between Ramesses and Moses, obviously before he leaves. But Moses looks out for Ramesses and he convinces his father to give him a chance at more responsibilities. You know, he wants to see him succeed. And Ramesses is genuinely worried and sad when Moses is leaving. Like you could tell it's breaking his heart. He doesn't understand why his brother needs to leave. He, like, even when he says, ask the man that I once called father, and he realizes
there's something there.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care if that's not his real brother, because that's his brother in his heart, and it's heartwarming.
It really is. It's one of those scenes that kind of, like, put a tear to my eye that he was leaving, and his brother cared so much, and, you know, personal reasons, stories that people don't need to know, but I have that situation going on, and it's just touching.
I like that it gives you sympathy towards the Egyptians as well. Even though all these horrible things are going on and the way they're treating these slaves, you feel bad for this core family because they do show you that they love each other and they're trusting just like any family in the world would be.
Very true. So let's talk a little bit about the music in this movie because it's definitely one of the positives. Did any of you have a favorite song?
I thought the music was just okay.
Okay. Amelia, did you have a favorite song?
Yes, I liked the song when they were dancing by the fire.
Yes, through heaven's eyes.
So how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes.
So that is a tie for me. I can't decide between Through Heaven's Eyes and then the opening song, Deliver Us. It's very hard for me to choose between those two.
Banger songs.
They are. What about you, Daddy?
I think I like The Plagues the most this time.
Really?
I really like Deliver Us, but I think The Plagues between Moses and Ramsey doing that duet and having the end being the let my people go and I will not let your people go. And then, like we talked about, the scene is awesome. It's a montage of these plagues. So I think The Plagues might have taken first spot for me for this movie now.
With that being said, the score of this movie was done by Hans Zimmer, who has an extremely impressive resume. He's done The Lion King, Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight franchise, Inception, Man of Steel, and the new Dune movies.
Yeah, dude knows his music.
As well as the songwriter, who is Stephen Schwartz. He did The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which we will be covering next month, Pocahontas, Enchanted, and this is a big one, guys. He did Wicked.
Yeah.
It was just highly loved in this household.
That is awesome. And I love Enchanted as well. Enchanted has my favorite Disney song of all time in it. So, like, this is a big name.
So knowing all the other projects that these artists have done, do you still think that Prince of Egypt is one of their bests?
No, I don't. I think that The Prince of Egypt is looked at as being like a really great musical, but honestly, there's three good songs out of the six that are in here, and a lot of the other ones are just forgotten. I do really like the last song in the movie, When You Believe, because the lyrics are really good, but as far as the song goes, it's kind of boring. I don't know if you feel the same way, but that's how I feel.
I do. I see that song as more of a downer than an upper. Like, we're going back to Through Heaven's Eyes, where everyone's dancing and jaunty. Like, I can listen to that song over and over again.
We do like Through Heaven's Eyes. We will sing that randomly in this house.
Even when we don't know the lyrics, I just make up my own words, and it's great.
Yeah.
But as the soundtrack as a whole, I can't listen to it from start to finish.
No.
I will skip songs.
Yeah.
Versus definitely. Wicked, for the most part, I can listen to it straight through.
Everything but the teacher songs.
Yeah. The last positive I want to touch upon is the message of this movie. There is a strong theme on the importance of freedom. I don't know what triggered this question, but I find it ironic. But Amelia asked me just last week after school what freedom was. And it took me a minute to try and figure out how to explain it. But it came down to me saying freedom is having the power to choose what you want to do. There are some places in the world where girls aren't allowed to go to school, have certain jobs, live alone, etc. They don't have freedom because someone is telling them, no, you cannot and are not allowed to do these things. But where we live, we have laws that protect us and keep people from telling us no. It's a beautiful thing to reflect upon as a parent because we see this terrible life as a slave. These people, from the moment that they can stand, are worked to the bone and forced to work, literally, all day. There is no social life. And it's humbling to realize how truly blessed our lives are. No matter our day-to-day problems, we are free and life could be tremendously worse. And this movie does a good job at teaching that for kids.
Very well said. I like that. That was a good sentence.
It's a lot of information really quick, but I think it packs a punch.
It does. So let's get into some negatives now. This movie, super violent. It is hard to watch at times. There is people getting whipped, told what to do when they have no ounce of
strength.
Yes, strength. There's no strength in their bodies, and they're still being told work more. There's a scene that Amelia had mentioned where the hieroglyphics leave very little to the imagination of what happens to these babies, and it's just so heavily implicated what happens to these babies that your heart just pulls out of your chest. It's so heavy.
It's sickening. I get it. You're trying to show us how bad the situation was, but for a kids' movie, was it all necessary?
I think it is necessary because if you didn't see how brutal these Egyptians were to the Hebrews, you wouldn't think anything much of Moses coming back to free the people. You'd just be like, oh, well, they're slaves. Oh, okay. Well, they're just working. No, you need to see the brutality that's happening to these slaves, and it's 100% necessary, even though I just said that one of the negatives is that it's super violent. But kids take violence differently. You know, they're going to react differently. So I consider this a negative.
And I guess you can't go changing a story that's been around for centuries.
Very true.
So another negative, I wouldn't call it a message per se, but they do show that it is okay to unalive bad people just because they've done bad things to you in return. So what do you think, girls? Is it okay to unalive a bad person?
No, I don't think so.
What about you, Amelia?
No, because that makes me bad.
Okay, that's a very good answer. How about you, Mommy?
My morals are slightly different. It's hard to say, but I truly believe if someone is an evil person down to the core and doing horrible things, I'm not going to be mad about them being unalived. But in this movie, innocent children are harmed, and that's not cool. That's not okay to do that to the Egyptian people because they did it to the Hebrews, because in the end, it's the kids suffering, not the evil men.
That's true.
What about you, Daddy?
I'm going the Batman route of this. We don't harm justice. People. Yes, justice. You need to let them suffer somewhere else. You need to put them away. I will not help them if they're getting harmed. I will let them meet their demise, but I will not be doing the judging.
I agree with that. That's a solid thing, that you're not going to disrupt their path and go out of your way to save them, but you don't want that black mark on your soul.
No, definitely not. Another thing I didn't like is the end of this movie. Not necessarily a cliffhanger, but Amelia was like, what are those things he's holding? Because this movie ends with Moses getting the Ten Commandments on the tablets that God had sent lightning down to chisel into these stones.
Yeah.
And it just ends with him getting them. It doesn't answer what they are or what happens next. So it's a cliffhanger in a way.
It is. This movie heavily relies on the fact that you have some knowledge of Christianity. And if you don't, you are completely lost. You're like, cool, he's got some tablets. Good for you, Moses.
I mean, I remember I learned them inside preschool, but I don't remember them teaching me when.
Okay, so you don't know the Ten Commandments or anything like that.
Yeah, I just a little bit forget it for preschool.
It's okay. I forgot a lot of them as well, but we did a pretty good job when we researched it. Like, oh, yeah, I do remember these.
We did. We were like, how many can we list without looking it up? And I think we got through maybe half of them, and then we had to look up the last five.
I think a little more than half. We did have help from Grandpa Steve, but yeah, we did get most of them.
The last thing we want to mention as far as things that could have been done better is this cast is mostly Caucasian. And granted, I don't know of a better cast from this time. They did a wonderful job, but this movie could have used some more representation. There had to have been some Hebrew actors out there that could have done some voice work.
I agree 100%. This is a big one, especially for this time. If this movie was made today, it would have been all Israeli characters or all Hebrew, you know, Jewish communities.
Yeah, so in a way, I guess you could say it was just a product of its time. Things weren't done the way they are now and where we try to embrace the cultures when we're making these films. So just something that'll knock it down when you watch it currently.
Very true. And what kind of negatives come with parental guidance, Mommy, or positives?
So the one positive, language is completely clean. You don't have to worry about any bad words or nonsense in this movie. But violence, 100%, start to finish. The opening credits gives you a good idea of what you're in for. Like we've said, we watch these slaves being worked to the bone. We see them whipped and left with slashes across their backs. The Pharaoh orders the soldiers to execute every infant son in the village. A man falls to his demise off a scaffold. The river turns to blood and the Egyptians are plagued. Soldiers chase the Hebrew down but are swept away into the sea, insinuating that they all drown. Pretty heavy stuff. Scary-wise, Amelia said that the blood scared her. She did not like when the river turned to blood and everyone was panicking about it. Outside of that, there's a lot of distressing and emotional content. We talked about the first time Zosia watched this movie and she couldn't even finish it. Kids can sense the fear and suffering of these characters, which, if anything, makes it a more powerful movie. Grown-up stuff, Zipporah is presented as a gift to Ramesses and Moses and is sent up to Moses' bedchamber. It went right over our girls' heads. Later on, Moses is bathed by older women, and he says a funny line about...
Ladies, you've cleaned every inch of me. Whoa, I
was wrong.
It's played off as funny, but we know what's happening. And then the overall context and biblical background of the movie is grown up, but it's presented in a way where our girls understood most of it. And lastly, cry factor. With so much emotional content, there's plenty of opportunities for tears to strike, whether they're happy or sad. It got me after Ramesses lost his son, and you could see the pain between him and Moses. They were brothers, and Moses did not want this to happen. He just wanted his people's freedom, and I like that you see the sadness in both of them.
As for an age recommendation, you know your kids better than we do. We're just here to give our opinions. I'm going to say 8 and up for this movie. There are too many heavy topics, but if you're in a house that reads the Bible or are familiar with the Old Testament and your kids know this story, then you can go ahead and show them as young as you like. However, I'm going to say 8 and up. So Rotten Tomato critics have this movie certified fresh at 79%, which is a thumbs up. Audiences have it at an 89%, which is also a thumbs up. Let's see how it holds up in our house. Zosha, do you give The Prince of Egypt a thumbs up, a thumbs middle, or a thumbs down?
Thumbs middle.
Thumbs middle. Why thumbs middle?
Because it was okay.
All right. Amelia?
Thumbs middle.
Thumbs middle. Why thumbs middle?
It was okay, but it was just a little bit scary for me.
Okay. I get it. Mommy?
I'm going to go with thumbs up, just because for a kid's movie, this movie makes you think. It makes you reflect upon your life. It has a really good soundtrack. I can watch this movie again, no problem. It's got rewatchability, so I'm going to go thumbs up. What about you, Daddy?
I'm going to go thumbs middle. Sorry, Adam. The music just isn't as good as I remember. The story moves and it is emotional, but it's just not as good as I remember as a whole. So I'm going with a thumbs middle.
That's fair. As someone who did not enjoy their time in CCD, I loved it because it brought it to life. I think this is just a so much better, more fun way to learn about the Bible.
Okay, yeah, for sure. And if any of you would like to add The Prince of Egypt to your movie night list, it is currently streaming on Peacock or available across platforms.
And after watching, let us know if you give it thumbs up, thumbs middle, or thumbs down.
And when you want to let us know what you think about the movie, please find us on social media. We like to post pictures of us on our movie nights, letting you know what snacks and sweets we're eating. We post a dad joke as well as a sneak peek clip theme to the episode coming out that week. It's a fun place to hang out.
Our Facebook is It's Movie Night, and our Instagram is It's Movie Night Pod. Thank you for listening.
Join us next week for another movie night.
Happy Easter!